With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome, everyone, to the EvoStick NPL Division 1 show for September.
In my opinion,
yes,
this is the best show.
Round the table, we've got the great and good from the non-league world. We've got Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
We've got Roy Sewell, non-league legend.
Good evening.
We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
We've got Ian Burke from 26-0.
Oh, I've not looked up hello in binary.
That joke doesn't make sense if you listen to the shows in the wrong order.
Oh, yeah.
Which in itself is a binary issue. And we've also got Aaron Flanagan from the Mirror here.
Hello.
Right, so Division 1, where should we start? Coming up in the show, we've got interviews, FA Cup interviews with Bedworth United and with Farnsley Celtic. But before all of that, it's time to wildly speculate on Division 1. We started with Division 1 North last month. Division 1 South. Ooh. Boom. Spalding United.
Whizzing away, aren't they?
What's going on?
I don't think it's... Is it that much of a surprise?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Sonny Boy mentioned it.
Yeah. You did, didn't you?
Dave Frecklington's got in there, who was at Lincoln United last season, but I think their stated ambition is to be, they want to get promoted, they expect to be up there, and are living up to that so far. Great start to the season.
Shaw Lane are pretty much where we'd expect them to be.
What, second?
Well, in the mix.
Yeah, I suppose. But Spalding are 4 points clear with a game in hand as well.
Yeah.
Proper flying, aren't they? 7 wins from 9, so the other two were only draws as well. Yeah, they're going great guns, but yeah, Charlene, what should you say, Ben? Yeah.
A poor result this week, Charlene, losing to Stocksbridge for the first defeat of the season. That's why that gap's open slightly.
But it is awfully competitive up at the top at the moment. There is a group breaking away there, certainly. Newcastle Town are in the mix, which they would argue is probably where they'd like to be. Yeah. Based on where they were last season.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ben, but they've played 7 of the 9 games at home. And, you know, away from home, the 1-1, lost one, and well, we'll see how that one pans out. I don't think they'll be top three at the end of the year.
They had a big game last night against Witton Albion as well, Newcastle. Witton went there after a really unexpected defeat at Carlton at the weekend, which was their first defeat of the season. And in really bad circumstances as well, they were 2-0 up after an hour and lost 3-2, Carlton scoring the winner in the 96 minutes. So it was the first real little test for Witten after going out in the FA Cup in midweek after in the replay against Stavish. But they passed with flying colours. A little bit of an edge there with Scott Dundas, now the manager at Newcastle, who was sacked by Witten last season, so there was a little bit extra riding on that one. Witten have gone there, brilliant response to losing on Saturday, real sent out a message, I think, by going to Newcastle and beating them comfortably, and that puts them back in the top five with games and everyone else.
Yeah. Just a question about Witten, because Witten, I think, were top, weren't they, last month?
They've had FA Cup distractions
and good distractions. They nearly made it through, didn't they? Nearly caused an upset against Stalybridge. Now, Witten Albion, I think it's a question we asked last month, but it's worth a question and asking again. Are they confident this season?
Yeah, they're confident. They've started really well. They've got a really good side. I'm sure Royal backed me up from the evidence he saw. The only thing to say about Witten is they've got a really small squad. They're going to need a little bit of luck with suspensions and injuries. I mean, Saturday was an interesting example. Rob Hopley, his first game he's missed this season, and they take a tumble at Carlton. He was back in the team last night. So that would be my only concern. I think starting 11, they've got about 12, 13 players. If they can keep them fit, have some luck with suspensions, I think they've got a great chance.
FC United's women's team played Northwich Vixens.
Yes, they did.
Hopler was the goalkeeper for Northwich.
Oh, right, okay.
That's a weird name for two Northwich-based players to share.
Ben, Witten are the opposite of Newcastle. They've played most of their games away from home. They've played two at home so far this season. And I'd be astonished if they aren't in the playoffs at the end of the campaign. I think they'll walk it.
Now, Romulus last season were mid-table-ish. The season before, this is exactly where they were.
You could say they were mid-table-us.
Hey! Oh, dear.
In the FA Cup, they got knocked out. But actually, weren't they the first team this season to hold Hereford
to a
draw?
Yeah, they were.
So, the manager there, we interviewed him last month. He's brilliant.
He was good value, wasn't he?
I love him to bits. Just through talking to him once on the phone. Romulus, they're capable, aren't they? And especially with the ground they're at, it's the same sort of
thing. They definitely are. They had a great start to the season, like Witten, and they played each other this month. It was a 1-1 draw, and they just tailed off slightly, one win in the last five, which is why they've fallen away. And they're still, I don't think it's disrespectful, they're still punching above where they probably would expect to be. But yeah, great start.
And they had the issues with the pitch as well, didn't they? Share with Sutton Coldfield. Yeah. I assume you were playing at Eastwood, weren't they, for a couple of games there?
But I can't remember where they went in first.
Romulus switched games. They flipped fixtures, yeah.
Mm. To be honest, though, if you look at Romulus's performances over the last couple of seasons, they've shown that they're capable of being up there. What they haven't done is shown consistency of actually staying up there, and I think that's been one of the main points of Romulus. But they're a name that keeps popping up, and obviously it's a name that you remember.
Then we've got a group of sides there: Batesford United, Gresley, Stocksbridge Park Steels.
Jamie Vardy, Stocksbridge Park Steels.
Yeah, I knew I recognised the name Stocksbridge Park Steels from somewhere. Gresley are having a cracky season. Mm. Stocksbridge Park Steels, that's a surprise to me. I wasn't expecting them to be there. They've been lower third ever since they've joined this division.
I mean, fairness, it's going to come back to Gresley a second there. They've only had two home games themselves this year, and they've managed two draws, so everything they're doing to stay at that position's high up in the table.
Just quickly on Batesford, they had a slow start and have rocketed up the table in September, four wins from the past five, and they're playing Witten on Saturday.
They're an ambitious cup Batesford as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
If you look at Gresley, I think they're a couple of games behind everybody else. Yeah.
Well, they've had Coleman as well, haven't they? So that's who was obviously got knocked out by Stamford in the last round as well.
What we're basically saying in September's Division 1 show is this playoff mix here is shaping up quite nicely. Then you've got the likes of Bedworth United, who have had a good cup run this season and have settled in well to the league. In fact, they've settled in better than Rushden Diamonds have.
Yeah.
Lincoln United, they've had a storming month. Last month they were bottom end. We spoke to the manager and said he'd like the league form to improve. There they are now, and they're just 5 points from the player position. Mm-hmm. So it's all happening. And then you've got Chasetown there, and a special mention we should say to Loughborough Dynamo, who are having a phenomenal first couple of months of the season, when last season they were looking to stay up.
So for more on Loughborough Dynamo now, we're joined by the manager on his phone. It's Wayne Halcrow. Hello Wayne, how are you?
How you doing, men? Very well, thank you. You?
I'm all good. So it's been a very good start to the season compared to last year for Loughborough Dynamo. How have you found it?
Found it very very enjoyable, to be quite honest. We've attracted a lot better player than I initially thought with the budgets that we have in place. We managed to get a good set of lads and enjoying it at the moment.
What was your expectation coming into the season? Because obviously last year for Loughborough, it was a difficult season. What was your expectations coming into the season? How are you going to compete?
I'll be very honest. I think, as to my previous question, the budget that we've had, I thought we were able to compete. Ideally, we don't want to get into a relegation fight that Loughborough seem to be in most years. And we've said we would like to finish mid-table this year and have a progression into the season after.
Well, it's Bob on mid-table at the moment. It's 12th at time of recording. Division 1 South this season, we've said it a number of times on this show already as the season's gone on. I think it's a lot tougher than it's been in previous years. Some of the names of the clubs in the league, it's a tough division. What have you made of the competition?
Well, it's funny you should say. I'm speaking to the lads on after our defeat at Belper the other night, and I haven't yet seen a team that has actually looked like they were going to tear us apart. I don't know if that's us being, as you quite rightly said, better than expected, or teams not seem to be as sharp as they were last year. But, I mean, not counting my chickens, and like you say, quite rightly being where we are now, we're not at the end of the season. There's a long way to go. But, I'm more than happy with what we've got at the moment, to be clear.
And this season, obviously, it's a mid-table finish, hopefully, is the plan. What's your long-term aim for Loughborough Dynamo?
Long-term, the two gentlemen that I have with me looking after me at the moment in Darren and Bo. We've got a 3-year plan in at the moment. So again, without reiterating what we've already said, we've got to stabilise the club and finish a mid-table and avoid being in a dogfight every year. Then next year we'd like to be pushing up there with a higher budget and looking to compete for those playoff places.
And this weekend, Kidsgrove Athletic are the visitors. I think Kidsgrove are in in a false position at this moment in time. What are you expecting?
To be honest, Ben, I don't know a lot about Kidsgrove. People might class it as a little bit arrogant, but I don't worry about the teams that we're playing. I worry about me and I worry about what we've got. Team selection wise, we've got everyone fit. So I'm hoping that on Saturday we can, especially at home, we can do what we seem to be good at the moment, is playing a lot of good football, not always in the best areas, and hence why we've not got a lot of hair on top. But we look like we're playing good football in good areas at times, but just want the spells to get a lot bigger.
Well, it's a very welcome start for Loughborough Dynamo this season, and everyone at the club, congratulate everyone at the club for this first opening couple of months of the season. Good luck this weekend, but not too much good luck, because we've got to be fair to Kidsgrove as well. Wayne Alco, thank you for coming on the show, and all the best for the rest of the season.
We've got Rugby Town, obviously, bottom at the moment. It's early days, not even only played 7 games. There's issues going on there at rugby, isn't there?
There is, obviously. The manager, they've had 2 sets of managers walk away now, haven't they, if I believe, remember, and they've had a manager walk out in the last couple of weeks, and they've got a lot of the players seem to have left as well, so there's a bit more behind the story. But I've got a feeling it's another good case for them, where we've seen with Tiberdale, with Rinworth in the past. They've come up, survived the season, but again,
but they're a much bigger club than that.
It's not due to the lack of pies, is it?
It might be. Maybe someone should do a study on it.
I think it's to do with the shape of the ball. I keep hitting it. I keep hitting it over the bar. Thinking they scored.
I'm told there were no pies at Tadcaster on Saturday.
There was no pies at Tadcaster.
No, that's not food choice, though. That's not food choice. And Kidsgrove, they've had a management change as well.
Kidsgrove have been struggling for the last couple of years anyway.
They had a decent season
last year, but if you look at like the previous poll, they've always been.
Well, they've invested a lot of money. That is a real surprise to see them there.
But they've only played
players that they've actually. Yeah. Again,
to be fair, they've only played 6 games.
And another team
South. That's Division 1 South. We've got an FA Cup preview on the monthly Evo Stick NPL show, but just as a special one for the Division 1 show, we've got an interview now with Bedworth United in their preview with their match against
Curzon Ashton.
Boom.
So a big game this weekend, Curzon Ashton of the National League North against our very own Bedworth United, and joining us now is the manager of Bedworth United, it's Stuart Storer. Hello, Stuart, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
So, officially welcome to the Northern Premier League. You're not officially welcomed until the podcast welcomes you, so welcome aboard. How are you finding?
Thank you.
How are you finding Division 1 South this season?
Yeah, it's a tough league. It's physical league. We sort of started off in fits and starts, and we're just finding our feet. But, I've got every confidence in the lads and hoping for a good season.
Now, for those who are unaware, Bedworth United last season were in the Southern Prem, and it was a very competitive Southern Prem last season, and Bedworth United gave it a good go in trying to stay up, but it was a difficult season, wasn't it?
Yeah, we probably went up a little bit too soon. The club's not ready for it yet, but all the infrastructure in the last sort of couple of years has been put into the club by the chairman and the board. And, the income streams are now coming in, which hopefully if we get a chance to go back up within the next couple of years, we'll be more prepared for it.
Now, you said the next couple of years. This season so far, Bedworth United have had a decent start, currently 9th in the division with games in hand. What's your expectations this season? Because it has been a bit of a trip into the unknown.
Yeah, expectation levels are obviously quite high. We'd like to think, that we'd be in and around the playoffs, and sort of our recent record and form shows that, but a lot of things can happen in a season. So if we do sort of meet our targets of making the playoffs, I think it'll be fantastic for the football club.
And speaking of fantastic for the football club, third qualifying round of the FA Cup ain't bad at all. What was your expectation going into the FA Cup? Were you after a decent cup run this season?
Always, yeah. Always. You know, the chairman, the board seem to, that's all they think about is the money side of it, and pressure of the games has been quite big for me personally. But, you know, as a manager, that's what you've got to live with. The lads have done well. We've edged our way forward to the next round against Curzon. And obviously, the further you go, the money goes higher. And, for a little club like Bedworth, it's a lot of money and it can keep us going for quite a time.
Now, you've as a club, Bedworth have been to the fourth qualifying round numerous times. Never beyond that, I don't think. Curzon Ashton, I'm an FC United fan, so I've seen Curzon this week, and I'm also friends with the manager and that kind of thing. So I'll tell you honestly, they have got a bit of an injury issue at the moment and an injury crisis. And I said to you off air, we've got a good record on the podcast this week. I mean, I was really. No one was predicting Lancaster could beat Darlington, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to interview the manager. I'm going to make it happen. Bedworth United. What do you know about Curzon, and what are you expecting on Saturday?
Expecting a tough match. Curzon, we've had them watched, and again, a little club like Bedworth having Curzon watched, it seems crazy. But you know, we've done our homework and. It's going to be a tough match. We've just got to hope on the day that maybe they have a little bit of an off day and we play to our full potential, which, I think the lads should be up for it.
Well, on behalf of all the listeners, Stuart, we wish you all the best of luck going into this game. No problem at all, I don't think. We'll interview you in the first round proper in a month's time or so. But Stuart Story, thank you for joining us on the Division 1 show and all the best this weekend.
Okay, and hopefully your record will stand still. Okay.
Division 1 North now, and Brighouse Town are leading the way. Who saw that coming? Everyone round the table saw that coming, didn't they, Roy?
Yeah, I've actually seen Brighouse play. Big lads at the back, solid in how they set themselves up again. Typical Yorkshire team, I've got to say it that way. But they have a little bit of flair in the wider areas, and a lad through the centre who can score goals.
It's a club that's come a long way in a short space of time. Are they ready for the promotion up to the?
I wouldn't say so, facility wise. And really, what I'd say is that as soon as one or two of these players start showing the promise, I should imagine that a couple of teams may come into them and burst a bubble for them.
From a scout, that sounded very threatening.
I'm actually with Roy on this. I don't see him sustaining it. Got a great start. He wins 7 out of 8. Brilliant form in it. But I can't see him keeping up for the rest of the season. I think Farsley will eventually recapture them and overtake them. Bamber Bridge are looking good. And Lancaster, they've been flying, like I said, since beating Hyde.
Burke, did you say Farsley Celtic? It's time for our next interview. Obviously, Farsley Celtic are in the FA Cup this weekend. They're playing
Bishop Auckland,
the slaughterers of Trafford. And
you're for the southern area.
So I caught up with Farsley Celtic this week.
So joining me now to discuss Farsley Celtic more in depth, we're now joined by the manager. It's Neil Parsley. Hello, Neil. How are you?
Afternoon, Ben. I'm fine, mate. You?
I'm all good. And welcome back to the show. Second outing on the show. So, FA Cup this weekend. We'll come to the FA Cup first. It's been a cracking run so far from Farsley Celtic.
Very much so. We've had 3 away games. I'm just pleased to get home joy in this round and... we're under no illusions. We know we've had Bishops watched. John Deasy, who's manager also with me, he went up to watch them last Friday and he came back with a glowing report for them. So, as I say, under no illusions, but quietly confident that we can make our home advantage tell.
And the season so far for Farsley, more widely, I mean, when we spoke last year, you were in the middle of a resurgence in the league, and you nearly did it, didn't you? But this season, what's your expectations for this season?
Again, we just want to keep the run going, really. As you rightly point out, from November last year through to the end of the season, you know, we had a really healthy points gain, and you know, we've carried that on to this season. There's three or four additions to the squad of players that were already at the club, and we feel as if we've made big strides in improving things, which you know, we've been fortunate enough to reflect in the start of the season that we've had.
One of the things that we picked up on in this month's show is just how competitive the top end is at the moment, with a few resurgent clubs in there, like Bamber Bridge, like Lancaster City, like Corwin Bay, like Scarborough Athletic, all in the mix this season. What have you made of the competition thus far in the first nine games or so?
Well, an example, we played Colne the other night at home, and we managed to come through the game 2-1, but to be fair, we weren't at our best, but you know, Cole gave a really good account of themselves, and you know, went away from Throstles disappointed that they didn't take anything away from it. It was, you know, they gave a really accomplished performance. So we were a bit lucky the other night. Our keeper saved the penalty, which was a good save to keep us in the game, and then we managed to sneak in. We held on, but to be fair, one thing we have got at the club, you know, the players are working really hard. There's a good shape about the side. We're organised, and as I say, we managed to hang on to the 3 points the other night. We played Colwyn Bay, first game of the season. That was a close affair. We managed to sneak that 1-0, and we beat Scarborough Narrowly last week. So all much of a muchness, really. Really close games, competitive games, good advertisement for the Evo Stick, and as I say, we've done really well defensively in the amount of clean sheets that we've kept, and you know, that's been the catalyst, and that's been the platform for us to win football matches.
Now then, you speak about advertising the league. Let's advertise this FA Cup match this weekend at Throstles Nest. It's 3 o'clock kickoff against Bishop Auckland. It's going to be an absolutely epic encounter, I feel. What are the chances, do you think, for Farsley Celtic? If you getting through to the fourth qualifying round would be absolutely immense for the club, wouldn't it?
It'd be a massive boost to the club, not only for the finances, but for the profile as well, which is what the FA Cup brings. Both John and myself, you know, we hear ourselves before the FA Cup game saying to the players, listen, this is your chance for the pats on the back and the accolade and the advertisement and, you know, the publishing things to make names for yourselves. The nitty-gritty from our perspective is the league, which, you know, I'm sure all the managers and coaches up and down the country will appreciate. That's our bread and butter, is the league. But no, the FA Cup, as I say, is a fantastic opportunity for the players to put their names in lights, so to speak.
And as I said to you off air, Neil, good record on the NPL show this season. The last round we had 3 out of 4 go through, including remarkable results for Lancaster City. So all the best to Farsley Celtic this weekend. On behalf of all the listeners, we really hope you make it through to the fourth qualifying round. And we'll probably have you on when you get to the first round proper, if that's all right, Neil.
Brilliant, Ben. Thanks very much for your coverage. That's much appreciated, mate. Thank you.
Farsley Celtic, though, with their FA Cup match this weekend. Good luck to them. They're playing
Bishop Auckland.
Boom!
The Bubbles next weekend.
You
as
know
well.
What? I'm like a Paul Daniels quiz show host style. It's like, yeah, it's like the early 90s.
I really do hope them all the best for this weekend, but the weekend after, I'd always give them a chance.
I'll tell you what, though, they're talking a good game, aren't they? There.
They are. Yes. Yeah. I do hope I get these interviews organised. Farsley Celtic, Bamber Bridge, Lancaster City, Colwyn Bay, Tadcaster Albion, Clitheroe, Scarborough Athletic, Kendal Town. These are big names up at the top end of the table, aren't they? Chasing down Brighouse.
I would say Kendal, in fairness. I think they're having a good season, don't get me wrong, but they're not a team you'd expect.
Do
to be
not
up there.
Let Swamper hear you say that about.
Well, just had an appointment there of, Josh Farrell, who I know he's had a long association with Everton Football Club. And a very old associate of mine, you know, when I say old, it's got to be 20 odd years when I last saw him. But it's, has gone in there as a technical director of football, you know, for him. So, you know, we just tossed there, like, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, they're looking towards going forward in the right manner.
So for more on Kendal Town, we're now joined by the manager. It's David Foster. Hello, David. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm all good, thank you. So we should say you're outside. You're at a training session at the moment. So if there's wind and balls flying past your head, that's why.
But, it is indeed.
We've got you on because Kendal have had a very good start to the season. And how impressive have Kendal Town been this season so far for you?
Well, we've you know, obviously we've had a few faces in at the start of the year, and you know, we've been overall pretty pleased with the start we've had. We've had a good return for our efforts so far. You know, there's obviously a couple of games where we were disappointed that we didn't, you know, either pick a win up or pick something up. But I think over the sort of 10 games or it is now that we've played, I think with the exception of maybe probably our last game against Clitheroe, we've been pretty pleased with how the squad have done. I think we've probably surprised one or two people because obviously we've got a really, really young squad this year. But overall, we've had a pleasing start, but it's early days at the moment.
It is early days, and admittedly, I do apologise for bringing you in at this time, just in case the wheels come off now. But to be fair, our record at the moment for interviewing managers, they do go on to have good results the following game, so I think that's very promising. But Kendal Town, for my money, I'm an FC United fan, and I remember going up to Kendal when we were in the NPL Premier Division. It's a good sized club, and what's the feeling like at the club going into this season? What's the expectation levels like?
I mean, I think it's realistic. I mean, obviously, it's no secret that it was a difficult season last year. And obviously, you know, there's some structures in the club that have changed for the better. So I think expectation at the while, you know, we're realistic, but being ambitious at the same time. You know, obviously, I don't want to manage a team that will just be happy just to stay in the league. You know, our aims, you know, I don't suppose there'll be very many teams who don't want to try and finish up in the playoff areas if we can. But, you know, bottom of that, you've got to be realistic about, you know, your budgets, your squads, and how you do. But certainly from what I've seen so far, I think with the exception, like I said, maybe one game, we've been competitive, you know, that's what we want. And if you're competitive in every game, you've got a chance of sort of you know, finishing somewhere up the league, you know. So, you know, you obviously review as you go along and things change, you know, that's where we are really as a club. We want to do as well as we possibly can, and I think with a young group of lads, we, you know, we don't look too far ahead. You know, we look at the next game and we try and make sure we're well prepared for that, and we do as well as we possibly can to try and pick 3 points up. And then, you know, obviously as you pick points up, you climb up the league, and you know, obviously you get near the end of the season, then you can start worrying about whether you're up there or you're not, really. But that's our mentality, I think, really.
And Division 1 North this season is a very competitive league, and you're in this batch of clubs, I feel, who are there or thereabouts around the playoff position, certainly. And you've faced teams like Scarborough and Ossett Town and Clitheroe and Glossop North End, who did well last season too. Your general feeling towards the competition this season?
I think it's a wide open league this year. I think the one team that obviously have hit the ground running with some consistency appears to be Brighouse. You know, they I'll be surprised if they're not really there. But you know, there's a lot of other clubs that have brought players in from higher leagues. You know, obviously got bigger budgets than we have. But certainly from the results at the beginning, you know, everyone's being everyone kind of stuff, and it's. Like anything, is if you can get some consistency with your results and your performances, I think in this league it's always going to be, you know, you'll not be too far away from the playoff positions where you want to be. I think it's very competitive, but at the same time, I think it's quite open this year, because I think there's not just two or three clubs who look like they're going to run away with it. I think it's probably as competitive as it's been for a while, I think.
Absolutely. I think I agree with you. David, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day and windswept field to come on the Division 1 show. It's much appreciated. And we wish you all the best of luck in the coming weeks, but not too much luck because you are playing Ossett Albion this weekend. So we've got to be fair to Ossett too. But David Foster, manager at Kendal Town, thanks for joining us on the NPL Division 1 show.
Yeah, you're most welcome.
This is the best start Kendal have had for a while, isn't it?
Quite, for the last couple of years. I mean, He got relegated from the Premier about 6 years ago.
No, we were on there.
Even
it's when Lee Ashcroft was in charge, wasn't it?
I mean, they must think that, you know, we've got a chance there. Scab Athletic, they've had a phenomenal start.
Compared to last year, they needed to. Again, I think they've only had Nadus and given that a little bit of extra performance. They needed, especially losing the final the way they did as well. After being a goal up, it's just even kicking the backs. I mean, this year is the last year at Bridlington. Mm. So again, just to get that support back ready for next year, even if you don't go up this year, the town back behind them ready for when they do move back.
They actually started last year pretty well. Yeah. They won the team of the month in August, and
but we're in October nearly now. Yeah.
Anyway. The thing is, Ben, you're saying they've had a phenomenal start. They're in eighth place. The fans don't expect them to be in eighth place. They think they should be right up there challenging. And with the resources that they've apparently got, maybe they should be up top end, but it's much of a muchness.
It is. We are approaching the 10-game mark, obviously. Clitheroe are up there.
They've been a lot stronger team than they have been in the past. They're a team that are frightening a lot of the others around the league. So again, I was going to come to Tadcaster in a second, but they're scared. Tadcaster are scared of going to Clitheroe in 2-3 weeks' time, realistically.
They're scared?
Yeah, because
werewolves, mate. Which country?
Is that what it is?
It's a very dark place.
They think they're going to get absolutely turned over by Clitheroe next week. But again,
they're half decent, you know. Yeah. They're a bit achy on the travels and all that, but...
Tadcaster won't mind, they're about going there.
This is what the fans were saying to us last weekend anyway. But
that might be the fans. Maybe they don't fancy going up in the hills, like, you know. But Tadcaster won't mind there. And Billy, the manager, good buddy of mine, he'll be looking forward to that. And he'll have done his own work on them as well.
Mm. Two teams that I'd like just to point out as well, Bamber Bridge. Exactly where they want to be as a club.
Going back to last year when they were having the arguments about where the money was going to go this year, I think their backroom staff are going to have to have a second thoughts now.
Bamber Bridge's strength is in the midfield, no doubt about it. They've got Alistair Wadaker out on the right, they've got Jamie Milligan on the left, in the centre they've got Michael Potts just buzzing around the place like a big angry wasp. He's fantastic in the middle. Where the letdown is probably a little bit up front. I still think they could do with someone that, with 20, 25 goals in them, I don't think they've got that at the moment.
Now, I mentioned Stamford, didn't we, in Division 1 South. Division 1 North has got two relegated sides in there. Colwyn Bay are performing epically
very well.
In comparison to last month.
That's what I was going to say. We couldn't believe how long they were.
Yes.
There's only four games in a row, so fair play to them. They deserve a shout-out.
Hyde.
They've not turned the corner yet, but they're in the process of approaching the corner. And they've poked their head around, they've got a little periscope, and they've just seen if there's any danger around there.
I'm just wary, you see, because before in the other show you came up with a stat about Ashton Athletic. I'm just worried now that you were looking that far down the pyramid.
let's just go back a couple of seasons with in the main show. At the start of last season, where did you say Hyde were going to finish in the Premier Division?
Top by 10 points, was it?
No, second by 10 points.
Yeah. Well, you said they'd get promoted as well, didn't you? You said that to wind me up, and you were right by fluke, just by the team disintegrating in the second half of the season.
Berkey, I was right.
Aaron, we won our first away game in 11 months last night against Prescott Cables, who you lot were going on about last week, going, they're brilliant, look at Prescott. And I said, no, hang on. Prescott being third or whatever they were this time last month, it's an aberration. They shouldn't be there. They've not got the quality there.
Hyde
are in the process of turning the corner. Darren Kelly's been doing little tweets and this, that, and the other. Phil Dean's finally playing out on the left flank now. Kyle Brownhill has been phenomenal at left back. If Hyde don't finish in the playoffs, I'd be astounded.
James Hayes doesn't even do this anymore.
Listen to me, Ben. This is very, very, very important. Hyde have got the players.
Yeah.
They've got the gumption.
And the ground.
They've got the ground.
And the fans.
They've got the fans.
Berkey, and the squirrel pies.
Berkey, they've got the world class pies from the butchers up in Glossop, and Aaron Flanagan, mark my words, will be playing you next season.
Okay.
Wow. Sorry, John.
Now, just like in Division 1 South, it is very early days, but currently bottom of the table is Burscow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Gula there as well. And Gula played two games. Gula played two games more than Burscow.
Well, one good win.
And it's early days, but anyone worried about Burscow and Gula?
I do feel generally sorry for Dave Powell at this moment in time. He's not. He doesn't deserve, as good as a manager he is, he doesn't deserve where he is, but the team he's got at the moment just aren't good enough for this division. Everyone expected Burscow to be a lot higher up in the table, but they're just not putting the performance in that.
They lost everybody. They have everybody.
Including the finances.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean, but again, even without the finances, you've seen it in the last couple of years, teams with practically no budget. Mm-hmm. I've just managed to stay.
Prescott.
Albion.
At the end of the day, I mean, you're talking about, you know, players, the players that he's brought in. So obviously, the players that he rates, and it's a matter of him banging them into shape and getting them going.
Just a quick question on Division 1 North more widely. You know, like we've said with the Premier Division, it's split into two, and you know that's what your opinion is, Ryan, how it's going to shape up. Is this division a bit more clear cut down the bottom end with regard? Because there's a lot when I look at Ramsbottom United, Cone, Johnston, Mosley, Radcliffe, even Radcliffe Borough. Can I say this? Those teams don't strike me like they're going to necessarily be struggling this season to get some points on the board, whereas there are a couple of teams around that neck of the woods, I'm not naming names, who might struggle to get points on the board this season.
Well, the thing is, when teams stay around that area for as long, I mean, as 10 games, a little bit of doubt comes into the players' minds, and maybe a little bit of desperation comes into the manager's mind as well. What I would say is that the two teams that are down there at this moment, down, you know, in time, they're there for a reason. One, sad to say, you know, Gould, we all, I think everybody mentioned them at the start of the season, you know, before the ball was kicked. And Burscough, virtually the whole squad went with the manager that they had there, Matt Beasley, and they're working on a shoestring. Now, you know, Dave, you know, he's gone out and he's got players with, you know, certain pedigrees or certain qualities, and it's up to him to mould them together. And Sutty, Dave Sutton, who is also involved there, I think he's in one of the football advisory role. He knows his football.
Gulapur, but they made a few very good signings recently. They've got Kirtley, Martin Wyatt from Hyde, and Jack McCarthy also from Hyde. He sits in midfield at the back, and Kirtley's a big lad up front. He does the job for him. And they've got a fellow called Alex Head as well, who has got arguably the second best dead ball delivery in the division after Jamie Milligan at Bamber Bridge. He is brilliant with his right foot, swings it in from all positions. Really, really good. From Hyde's Academy, incidentally. Not that I'll drop that in a little bit, but
You've got the wrong players on the
field.
Hyde, just so you know, every single team Hyde have played this season are all currently above them.
Quickly.
Os Albion, they've lost what's his name?
Boardman.
That's it. Rob Boardman left him, and he's one of the big players that they needed.
He is, but he's very temperamental. Yeah. He's temperamental. When he's on song. But Richard Tracy, who's manager there, he works very hard at the game. You know, time for him, and he'll be out looking for replacements.
Yeah, I mean, talk about teams just working on a shoestring.
The pub actually shuts in 15
He does really
minutes,
well.
So be quick.
To just say, the surprise for me this season is Ramsbottom.
Yeah,
fourth from bottom. Where on earth's that come from? Lost all the games away from them. Doing okay at the Riverside, but I'm absolutely gobsmacked by it.
And that is the end of this month's Evo Stick NPL Division 1 show. I hope you've enjoyed the journey that we've all shared together.
We're just getting going.
I know. Win this league by 10 pies.
A big good luck to all the Division 1 sides in the FA Cup. We hope you win. And we hope you make it for the next round.
Well, good luck to all.
Even Bedworth.
Yeah. Not Bedworth.
Even Bedworth.
And good luck to
especially Bedworth. So, a big thank you to Andrew Simpson this month. Thank you to Roy Sewell.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to James Hayes. Thank you to Ian Burke.
Cheers, man.
Thank you to Aaron Flanagan.
Cheers.
From everyone here at the Heat and Hop, in the award winning Heat and Hop in South Manchester, we bid you all a fond farewell and wish you all the best
and
over
we'll
the next 4
and
weeks.
And we'll see you at facebook.com/groups/MPL or on Twitter at the MPL group.
Well done, James.
He extra the last word, doesn't he?
You just did.
With over 500 high performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.